They've taken the shackles off of the government and put them onto the people. The very opposite of what the founders meant in the First Amendment.
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Hello, I'm Frank Wright, president of D. James Kennedy Ministries. The headlines bring us news of corruption in the Justice Department, the FBI, and the IRS. On today's program, we will compare the vision of our founding fathers with the reality of lawlessness in our own government. But before we begin, I want to offer you a special opportunity to make your voice heard on this pressing issue. Radical elements in these federal agencies have been working overtime to undermine the current administration, in effect, seeking to overturn the last election. We have put together a respectful letter of demand asking President Trump to reassert his control over the executive branch and appoint an independent inspector general to investigate the Justice Department and the FBI. Please contact us right away to receive your letter. Sign it and return it to us as soon as possible, joining together with thousands of others to make our voice heard against elements within our own government abusing their power to undo our votes. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. And please stay tuned for this vital look at the deep state and the power the Founding Fathers gave us to dismantle it on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. Like an ever-growing Leviathan, our government intrudes itself into every aspect of our lives. That is troubling enough in itself, but it becomes even more disturbing when those pulling the levers of power are no longer constrained by morality and integrity. In recent years, we have seen the IRS targeting Christian and conservative groups, and the FBI allegedly spying on an American presidential candidate. Government power is being weaponized in the service of partisan political agendas. On today's program, you'll discover what's happening in Washington and how far our government has diverged from the design of our founding fathers. As we begin, my great friend, Wendy Wright, is a longtime Washington, D.C. insider who now heads Christian Freedom International, which helps Christians who are persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ. She sat down with our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb to discuss the crisis of trust in our government institutions.
Wendy, thank you so much for joining us. As the president of Christian Freedom International, as you look at what's going on in Washington, D.C., and you've been in Washington, D.C. for many years now, a lot of people back home are losing their faith in their government. We see corruption seemingly at the highest level, just about, even the FBI and the IRS. Can we trust our government?
It's been so disheartening to see the inner workings at the FBI and the IRS of certain individuals. This should embolden us as Christians to see that we need people who respect the rule of law, who respect the concept of justice, working inside these bureaucratic agencies. For a long time, we as Christians have gotten involved in the fight at the top level, the president, the cabinet level, the head of agencies. But this current scandal that we're seeing regarding the FBI and other agencies should wake us up to the fact that as Christians, we should be involved in every level of government to ensure that there's justice and righteousness in our land.
Are we talking about just a few bad apples, or are we talking about, you know, corruption widespread here in Washington, D.C.?
Many people voted for Donald Trump because they wanted to drain the swamp. They understood that there's a terrible level of political corruption within our government agencies, within the government itself. And they didn't give up, thankfully. They voted for someone that they felt really could come in and upset tables and pull back the veil of what's truly happening here and could change things. So while it's been extremely frustrating to see that the level of corruption, political corruption, may be even worse than many of us even knew, we've got to hold on to that sense of hope that this can change.
President Coolidge once said, "If good men don't hold office, bad men will."
In order to drain the swamp, I think it's very important that we are free to speak of our faith in God and that we are accountable to God, and that's something that is valued, not something that should be silenced.
John Adams said our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. What are your thoughts about the truths contained in that statement?
John Adams recognized that we not only need righteous and moral people in office, that we as a people have a duty to be righteous and moral. And how do we know what is right and wrong? How do we know what is moral? We can't just decide it ourselves. It's not just we can drudge it out of our inner being or follow our heart. There has to be a standard, a universal standard that we can look to as to what is right and what is wrong, what is moral. And we can find that. We find that in the Bible. We find it in very plain spoken language in the Ten Commandments.
Wendy, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
As you've just seen, the so-called swamp in Washington, D.C. is very real. And the denizens of that swamp are seen across the entire political spectrum. Much of the problem can be attributed to the fact that God has been virtually removed from our public life, and with him, the ethical constraints on those with power. My good friend Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy joins me now. Jennifer, your dad made a direct connection between a weak moral government and the so-called separation of church and state, that false idea, didn't he?
Yes, and he was convinced that it was nothing more than a strategy to separate the nation from what made it great in the first place. America's founders certainly did not want a national church like they had had in England, but establishing a secular state with no religious influence was the farthest thing from their minds. The notion that God and government were to be completely separate not only goes against their thinking, but is something they would have found abhorrent. My dad knew America's true history, and that the First Amendment, which was given to protect freedom of religion, was actually being twisted and used to remove religion. And he knew the crucial importance of biblical truth in the governing of this nation, as he shares in this portion of his powerful message, Dawn's Early Light.
The Dawn's Early Light is my title for today's message on religious liberty, the separation of church and state. As I picked this phrase from Francis Scott Key's Star-Spangled Anthem and use it to consider the light that the early foundations of this nation shine upon a question and issue of great importance today, the matter of religious freedom. Though the secularists are doing their very best to get rid of every vestige of Christianity and religion in this country, there's no doubt that that's not the way it was in the beginning. We have lost sight of the light that the founding fathers tried to shine in that dawn's early light upon the future of this country. We've taken the train and taken it off the tracks that were laid down so carefully by our founders, and we have tried to reject religion and replace it with secularism. You wonder, how could this have happened? Where did the train get derailed? If we want to find something, we have to go back to the exact place where we lost it. And that place, my friends, is found in the year 1947 and in the halls of the Supreme Court, in a decision that you should all remember and inscribe on the walls of your prayer life, the Everson decision. And in that decision, the very liberal Justice Hugo Black quotes the phrase, "There should be a wall of separation between church and state," and indicates that this is supposed to be a secular nation. And by the way, that decision passed by one vote, 5-4. One man throughout 150 years of American history and Christian religious principles and faith, and ushered in this ungodly immorality that we've seen in our day. The First Amendment, like the entire first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights, were all one-way streets. They were written for one single purpose: to protect you, the people of the United States, from the newly created Leviathan, the federal government. And men like George Washington and Patrick Henry would not even sign the Constitution until they were assured there would be a Bill of Rights protecting the rights of the people. George Washington later said in a letter that if he had thought that in any way this government would become hostile to any religious organization, that he would have never affixed his name to it. Question: in the last decade, whenever you've heard anything about the separation of church and state, what is it talking about? Is it talking about what the government can do? No. Is it even talking about what churches can do? Hardly ever. It's almost always talking about what Christians or other religious people can or cannot do. Completely turned around. They've taken the shackles off of the government and put them onto the people. The very opposite of what the founders meant in the First Amendment. The founding fathers of this country meant that this was not a secular nation. It was not to be hostile to religion, but it was to accommodate it and encourage it, as Justice Joseph Story says in his first commentary on the Constitution of the United States, to encourage Christianity. The intention of the Constitution and the First Amendment was to encourage Christianity to the extent that it was compatible with freedom of conscience and worship. I believe we will see something wonderful happen in this country. We will put the train back on the tracks that were laid out for it by the founding fathers of this country. We will restore religious liberty to this nation. I believe that we will see also the throwing out of the so-called wall of separation doctrine, which has contributed so enormously to the increasing secularization, ungodliness, immorality, and crime in our country. Dear friends, pray that that may happen. The Berlin Wall has fallen. The Iron Curtain has fallen. And this supposititious wall of separation is going to fall.
As you have just seen, a false idea of the so-called separation of church and state has been a lever used to secularize America. But our founders clearly based our government on a Judeo-Christian foundation. For example, they knew that man was sinful, so government must never be in the hands of just one man or of a few people. But the federal government has grown to enormous proportions, and recent revelations have shown a shocking level of scandal in high places. Leaders in the FBI and the IRS have been shown to be partisan political actors working behind the scenes to try to change the outcome of the election. The result is that many people no longer trust their own government. Clearly, this is not what the founders intended for America. Our own John Rabe has more.
You're investigating this alleged Russian collusion with the Trump campaign. You're the lead investigator. You originated the investigation. You're the point of contact. You drafted the document. And here you are before you've interviewed a single solitary witness saying, F Trump. Then that same day, your colleague, Lisa Page, wrote, maybe you're meant to protect the country from that menace.
There were fireworks on Capitol Hill in July when Peter Strzok, a top official with the FBI, since fired, was grilled for his involvement in allegedly trying to undermine then-presidential candidate Donald Trump.
I've been directed by counsel for the FBI not to answer that question.
Some of the reasons there is so much fear in America that we've lost some of our institutions, that they've become corrupted, they've been changed fundamentally. It's why a lot of people talk about getting back to the Constitution. I think that's what they're thinking of. They want to create this system where we have these balances, where we have checks on government, where the founders saw that government was a necessary evil in society that needed to be checked. It needed to be there, but it also needed to be checked by the people and other institutions. I think people worry that those checks are going away, that they're gone.
Like a lot of Americans, I'm very suspicious of my own government. It's gotten so big. You know, centralization is a good thing in some instances, but it's bad when it comes to government. This is the lesson that Thomas Jefferson taught us, that decentralized government is best because it's closest to the people. If you don't like something, you can knock on the door and tell those folks why. Try that in Washington, D.C., which has tens of thousands of bureaucrats. Who may not be interested in what is ailing you and what you need to have done in your life.
In the 20th century alone, the federal government in America ballooned well beyond constitutional proportions. There's one alphabet agency after another, virtually always under the executive branch. How could there not be some abuse in such a scenario?
Part of the American character was always to have a certain healthy skepticism about government, right? That's the American Revolution. So that's always been there. And essentially, it's part of our constitutional system.
The American Revolution, we had a people who were used to living in liberty. The revolution comes, they're used to living as free citizens who participate in their own government. It is worrying to me to see the long-term cultural trends of people who now are so attached to the federal government. We've lost so much liberty. We've lost so much self-governance where people at the local level are making decisions for their communities. It worries me for the long-term culture of America that we're losing. I mean, this is part of what is American exceptionalism, what really makes us a great nation among the nations of the world. And we, I think, are very fortunate that our founders were people like the Puritans and people like this who believed that America would be a shining city upon a hill, that it wasn't just about our secular institutions, it was about American people being a fundamentally decent, moral, good people that would undergird those institutions, would make them stronger.
For example, Thomas Jefferson said, "The way to have good and safe government is not to trust it all to one, but to divide it among the many." This sentiment can be found among virtually all our founding fathers. James Madison, a key architect of the Constitution, noted, "All men having power ought not to be trusted."
The accumulation of power in one hand, Madison says in the Federalist Papers, is the very definition of tyranny. That's why you separate it. So no one person should make the law, execute the law, and adjudicate the law. That's tyranny. That's the essence of the American Revolution and what our constitutional system does. Given human nature, the temptation to use that for political purposes, when your enemies, your political enemies, are potentially winning an election through the popular branches, you can block it through either executive power or using judicial power. That temptation is old as man himself. But that's exactly what the Constitution, the rule of law, is meant to prevent. And the problem now is it's not being prevented.
I think it's important when you look at those texts that you understand the context in which they were made and the things that were going on across America.
I mean, government's never going to be easy. Our founders set it up so that it would not be easy. We need to return to a separation of power, but folks should not just vote and leave it to the folks in office. We've got to keep them accountable. John Rabe, who just brought us that report, joins us now in the studio. John, this is all very frustrating to consider What do we do about all this?
It really is, Frank. And if we just looked at the problem, that would be incomplete. But thankfully, we have developed a new resource that not only exposes the problem that we have in our government and in our nation right now, but also shows us the roadmap back. And that's the new book that we commissioned from journalist Robert Knight. It's called A Nation Worth Fighting For, 10 Steps to Restore Freedom. Bob is a longtime journalist who once worked for the Los Angeles Times. He's also been involved in numerous Christian ministries, right, the Family Research Council, Concerned Women for America. He wrote this book especially for us. It's available exclusively through D. James Kennedy Ministries. And in this, he looks at how secularism and how the left has undermined some of the pillars of our society, some of the foundations of our culture. And he also unfolds for us a roadmap how we can get back on track. And it gives a way for Christians to get involved in the process again. That's going to be vitally important, particularly with an election coming up just a few weeks from now.
We produce a lot of great resources. I happen to think this is one of the finest things we've produced in a very, very long time, and it's something that everybody should have. We'd be happy to send you a copy of Robert Knight's brand new book, A Nation Worth Fighting For, 10 Steps to Restore Freedom, available, as John said, exclusively through this ministry. We'll send it to you as our thanks for your generous donation toward the ongoing work of the ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. John, we've also sought out the advice and the wisdom of some very powerful and influential insiders in Washington, D.C. to give us some guidance on this, and we've captured a lot of that wisdom on video, haven't we?
We have. We have another exclusive resource. It's the DVD, The Justice and Integrity Special Report. This includes some Washington insiders talking about the issues that we've been hitting on today. Wendy Wright, who we saw earlier in the program today, is one of the experts in here. Former Senator Jim DeMint is another, and several other interviews as well. We also have a feature segment in here, sort of a documentary expose, taking a look at this crisis of confidence and corruption in the American government that seems to affect the Justice Department, the FBI, the IRS. I highly recommend that people get the Justice and Integrity Special Report DVD along with the book, along with Robert Knight's book, to give a full overview of what the problem is and how we can combat it.
It's so easy to get discouraged by all these things, but it's my impression that these experts we've interviewed, while they want us to know the full extent of the problem, are very optimistic that engagement, particularly in the electoral process, can make all the difference in the world.
That's right. This sort of news, watching the news cycle, can become discouraging. You just hear bad news. And there is a lot of bad news, but the good news is that nobody that we have talked to believes that this is irreversible. Nobody believes that it's permanent, but it will require engagement. And in 2018 and going forward, we as Christians need to be engaging. The Justice and Integrity Special Report DVD and Robert Knight's book, A Nation Worth Fighting For, will show you what's going on in our government, what's going on in our culture, and how to solve it as Christians.
And what to do about it. At this crucial crossroads in American history, it is essential that Christians stand for biblical truth and make our voices heard. These key resources will help you understand what has gone wrong in the Washington swamp and how to do your part in changing it. We'll send you Robert Knight's book, A Nation Worth Fighting For, as our thanks for your generous donation. And we'll send you the book plus the Justice and Integrity Special Report DVD as our thanks for your generous donation of $40 or more. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. In a recent New York Times editorial, an anonymous government official wrote this about President Trump. Many of the senior officials in his own administration are working diligently from within to frustrate parts of his agenda and his worst inclinations. And adding ominously, I would know I am one of them. For nearly 2 years now, what we have witnessed in Washington, D.C. is nothing less than the hijacking and undoing of the legitimate outcome of our democratic electoral system. Elements within the government, the mainstream media, and the political left have worked feverishly and dishonestly trying to reverse the results of the 2016 election. For decades, the left has tried to go around the will of the people, working through the courts, administrative agencies, and other unaccountable entities to implement its hard left agenda. Everything from same-sex marriage to abortion has been foisted on the public through such means, without these radicals needing to win even a single vote. And now they have finally come to the point where their disdain for constitutional government has led them to the precipice of attempting a political coup. They will do anything and everything they can to implement their agenda with no moral constraints whatsoever. All of this is why elections are critically important. They are the bulwark and sure defense against the kind of leftist usurpation we are witnessing today. Only a wholesale change in the courts, the federal agencies, and the entrenched administrative swamp, replacing them with people who again believe in truth and a law higher than mere pragmatism, will solve the problem. If you love this nation and the freedoms embodied in it, you must stand and defend her. Make your voice heard by going to the polls next month and voting your values. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
From a pro-life standpoint, there's every reason in the world to be optimistic.
We've been able to pass a number of pro-life laws that will no longer occur. You will not see that happen.
More important than economics, more important even than religious freedom, is the question of life itself.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.